Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
So what can we expect Jameis Winston to say when he reports to training camp next week? And what are some of the other storylines for the Bucs as they enter this 2018 season? Will the Rays be without Wilson Ramos in the second half? And can they match what they did in the first half? Or will they fall off a bit? And where do Major League Baseball players rank the Trop as a stadium and Tampa Bay as a baseball city? We're joined by Tampa Bay Times columnist Tom Jones. We'll discuss all that, and he's going to give you a great summer movie recommendation as well, all on this Friday edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Before we get started, folks, I've got a special offer just for our listeners of this podcast from Continental Wholesale Diamonds. You're going to be able to make your anniversary, engagement, or any special occasion even more breathtaking from Continental Wholesale Diamonds. Get this, with a minimum purchase of $2,000, here's what you're also going to get. A 5-day, 4-night cruise for two to the Caribbean on us. That's right, 5 days, 4-night cruise for two. And not only that, it includes your choice of cruise line, and you get to pick where you're going on the Caribbean as well. You get to enjoy Las Vegas-style entertainment and fine dining. Make sure that you let our friend Andy know that you heard it from Rick and Steve on Sports Day Tampa Bay. So dazzle the one you love with diamonds, then enjoy an ocean adventure cruise on us. It's just one of the sunny getaways. So get all the details from Andy at Continental Wholesale Diamonds. And remember, don't waste your time at those shopping malls that got the big overhead, which means a higher price for you. Continental Wholesale Diamonds is going to provide you with an exquisite jewelry selection, one-on-one customer service, always at wholesale prices that are easy in the pocketbook. And best of all, there's no pressure. Go see my friend Andy at Continental Wholesale. He's going to pour you a nice scotch, going to help you find the perfect diamond for your loved one. It's Continental Wholesale Diamonds. It's where I shop. And they're at 1715 Northwest Shore Boulevard, Suite 150, right next to the Penthouse Club. Tom Jones joins us now. And, Tom, we are 6 days from training camp and the first workout. And it's hard to believe it's here, but it is. I'm curious because I imagine you'll go out there. I certainly will be there. And Jameis Winston will be there. And even though we have read his statement, we know about the suspension, what do you expect that moment to be like? What are you looking to hear, if anything, from Jameis Winston? And just sort of what are you most curious about with him as we start the training camp and preseason?
Well, I think Ricky has to say something. I think he has to address it. I don't expect him to address it every day. In fact, I think it would be a distraction for him to talk about it every time somebody comes into town or a new reporter comes in or ESPN mm-hmm. or NFL Network or whatever. I think so. There needs to be something that he says day one, just to address it and how far he goes in terms of what happened that night, or if he just wants to give an apology, or if he wants to be defiant, however he wants to play it. But I don't think he can ignore it, because I think if he tries to ignore it, people are still going to press him on it, and then it becomes a theme throughout training camp. I understand from his point of view, he wants to put it behind him. I don't know if that Instagram video or whatever he did was a way to sort of start moving past it and showing what he's doing on the football field. But I don't know. What do you think, Rick? Like, you know him better than I do. I think he has to say something.
I think he'll be asked for sure, and I think he's going to refer to his statement. I really don't expect him to talk about it at all, other than to say, I have moved forward. I am moving forward. I addressed it, you know, at the time of the suspension. You know, I'll refer you to my – I mean, that's sort of what I anticipate. He's certainly not going to answer questions about why was your story different in November when you made a statement than, you know, what the NFL found to be the case, several weeks ago. I do think, though, you know, for Jameis, the bigger speech he needs to make is going to be to his teammates.
Yeah.
Many of whom I'm sure he sees in the offseason anyway. And, you know, generally players sort of have this attitude of, you know, I'm not going to question your money or anything that happens off the field. I love you as a teammate,
right,
you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's, you know, publicly, that's probably how everybody will address it. But you have to wonder if there is any, I don't know what the word would be, but, you know, look, he's put this football team in a precarious position.
Right.
And, you know, you're going to hear things from Dirk Cutter and others about how, you know, well, you treat it like it's an injury. We played three games without him last year and won two of them. But this is different. This is a self-inflicted wound.
Right.
And I'm just curious, you know, and maybe we won't know until we see how the first three games turn out. But, you know, if this team is 0-3 and they get sabotaged because of something he did by not being available to his team, I think he'll have a lot of work to do to sort of gain their trust back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in that locker room, Rick, so he doesn't owe me an explanation and how players feel about him. You know, that's for them to decide about whether or not to free. But I think you're right, Rick. If a guy gets hurt, it's one thing. That's unavoidable. But when you sort of go around, I don't doubt that Jameis is a good teammate, but that's one of the things he's known for, is being a good teammate and being a hard worker and being available for the most part for his football team. And now you're not there and you're not available. And I'm not here to suggest he's a bad teammate all of a sudden, but some players may look and say, look, this, you put the team in jeopardy here and we might get off to a really rough start here because of something you did that was stupid. And so, again, I'm sure the players will have his back because that's what football players do. That's mm-hmm. part of the culture of football and really all sports. I don't think you're going to have anybody outwardly coming out and saying something negative about Jameis. But at the same time, I think it's important that he does address his teammates and then moves on from there. Like I said, I tend to agree with you in terms of what he says to us. I think he will refer to a statement. He may talk about and maybe the best thing for him to do is to sit down with somebody, whether it's you or somebody nationally, ESPN or whatever.
How about you?
Or me? Well, that would be interesting, actually. And I know a lot
since
of
since you've called for him to be cut or released. I mean, you know.
Well, you know, here's the other part, Rick, and I think the Glazers need to say something at some point. You know, but I don't think they are.
That
going
ain't. That's not going to happen.
But maybe it would do Jameis good at some point to sit down one on one with somebody and say, you know, and you don't have to get into specifics of what happened. Look, everybody has an opinion on what happened that night. None of us know. But we all have I think a lot of us have a pretty good idea what happened based on what the NFL said and what Jameis's reaction was to it. But at some point, he's got to talk about, you know, where he is as a person, as a football player. And I think it's important that it's out in the open. But I'm sure they won't take my advice on that.
The Bucs did not have in any of their promotional videos that they put out the other day, and look, they could have another 10 coming out tomorrow, but I think there were four of them. Jameis was not part of any of those promotional videos. Do you make anything of that?
Yeah. I mean, you have to, right? I mean, if the Green Bay Packers came out with promotional videos and Aaron Rodgers wasn't a part of it, wouldn't it seem odd, you know, or the New England Patriots and Tom Brady's not a part of it? He's your quarterback. He's really, you know, I still think all like Gerald McCoy in many ways is still the face of this franchise, but I mean Jameis is right there. He's your starting quarterback. He's your former number one pick. He's your arguably your best player.
And so what does it mean? I mean, they couldn't win because if they put him out there, it sounds like they're tone deaf. I mean,
I think so. Yeah, I think they come off as tone deaf. I also maybe it's their way of saying, look, Jameis needs to take a step back and work on himself for a while and not worry about representing the team and the community and doing all this other stuff that he does. So maybe that's it. But yeah, I think it would have come off as a bit tone deaf if you put him out there front and center. And that's probably a good idea. And look, they got other guys they can turn to, like Gerald McCoy and Mike Evans and people like
that. Yeah, no shortage of stars. Okay, so if you're Jason Light or Dirk Cutter and you're entering this part of the season and training camp and in the preseason with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Griffin as your quarterbacks, and you know you're not going to have Jameis for 3 weeks, before they get started and you know, there's always a chance that one or both of those guys will get hurt in the preseason, would you bring in another veteran quarterback?
I don't know. I don't know that I would. And the reason that I don't know, because I still think starting week 4, Jameis is going to be your quarterback. And I think you could probably get through the first three games with Ryan Griffin and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm curious about Ryan Griffin, Rick. You've been around this guy a lot. They obviously like him, and I don't know what his future is in the NFL. I don't know if they expect him to eventually be the backup quarterback to Jameis Winston come next season if Jameis is still here. What do you think, like, Ryan Griffin's future is? And if it is as a future backup, does he have any chance of being the starter in week one when they open up against the Saints?
Well, I think that's going to be hard. This did not help, I don't think, Ryan Griffin, other than it gets him on the field in a uniform for 3 weeks, assuming he doesn't get hurt. Last year, very early in training camp, you know, he got hurt in the first preseason game. And part of that is because by the time he got in the game, they were playing a guy at left tackle that's probably now, you know, selling insurance or something because right, yeah. He wasn't a very good player. He did the Matador block. The guy blindsided the quarterback and separated his shoulder, and he went on PUP. They do like Ryan Griffin a lot, but he has this odd sort of, you know, history of having been there for going on now almost 4 years and never having played in a regular season game, not even to take a knee. But, you know, he was out playing Fitzpatrick early in training camp and maybe through the first preseason game. He has talent. It just seems to me, though, that this might actually force them to give him less reps because I'm going to be interested to see how they work this. I mean, you have to get Jameis reps. He's your starting quarterback. And yet you have to get Fitzpatrick ready for the regular season. What does that leave for Griffin?
Right.
With guys that matter. I mean, obviously he'll be taking reps. There's second team and all of that. And he'll play in the games. But short of – I don't know that there's going to be a real competition, you know, because it seems like they made that decision when they re-signed Fitzpatrick. If they had so much confidence that Ryan Griffin was going to be their guy moving forward, even as a backup to Jameis, then you wouldn't have re-signed Fitzpatrick. You just said, well, we got our backup quarterback, and let's go get a young guy. They didn't do that. I think Fitzpatrick is a perfect guy for this situation because he has started before. He started last year. He knows the personnel even more than he did when he had to come in last year. And even though he's not playing the Jets, Miami, and Atlanta, you know, he's been there. He's started seasons. He started games. And I just think they'll feel a bigger comfort level. But – you know, if Fitzpatrick is wobbly and Griffin lights it up, I mean, Dirk Koetter can do whatever he wants. I just think there's the unknown versus the known. And at this point, you probably want to try to, you know,
well, the question
what you do know.
The question is then, if you bring in a veteran quarterback, and I don't know who that veteran would be. I don't know if we're talking like
well, let's say you trade. Are you trading for and forget the Kaepernick thing for a side because that's not going to happen.
Right. But let's say you trade
for Teddy Bridgewater. Let's say you give up a third round pick, $2 million a year player, whatever he is, $4 million, I don't know. Okay, just to say, you know what? I mean, that would absolutely, you know, eliminate Griffin probably as in the starter conversation.
Right.
But you would have a guy behind, and Fitzpatrick's 35, so after this year, he's probably moving on. You sign him to a one-year deal. Would it be smart to have a young guy? Because let's say Jameis comes back, and he comes back, and he's out a month. Team's not doing very well. Maybe he's wobbly. Maybe he doesn't play great. Maybe they have a bad record, you know, and you don't want to give him the $21 million at the end of the year guaranteed against injury if he can pass the physical. At least you have something, right?
Well, and that's the point I was getting to, that, if they were to go out and they were to bring in somebody like Teddy Bridgewater, what you're saying, that's not about being your backup. That's about not trusting Jameis at that point or, like, not having 100%
faith. Could be, or it could be like, you know, we want to see if this guy's better than Fitzpatrick and we got a better chance to win now.
Right. Well, I mean, and certainly that would be a reason you would bring in a guy like that if you think you're going to improve your team's chances of winning in the first three games. But if you bring in Teddy Bridgewater, I think you're also sending a message.
You're talking
to Jameis
about next year. Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about next year and a year beyond is I don't know whether Jameis Winston's going to be my quarterback. Clearly with Ryan Fitzpatrick here as your primary backup, he's not going to be your starting quarterback. They could go out and they win their first three games against the Steelers and the Eagles and the Saints. I still have a hard time believing that Ryan Fitzpatrick would be your starter in week 4, you know.
Well, let me assure you, if they're 3-0, he is.
Well, because
you're right. Listen, you're right in the column. I don't care. This guy's coming off a short week. It's Monday Night Football. You're going to Chicago.
But he's not your long-term. He's not, I mean, as soon as he loses
the game. No, he's not your quarterback.
He's not your
quarterback. But as soon as he, yeah.
But if you were to, but if Teddy Bridgewater comes here and starts right. playing and plays really well, then all of a sudden, hey, you know, maybe you do think about him as being, there is no controversy with Ryan Fitzpatrick, really.
No,
there could be if you bring in a veteran quarterback. I don't think they'll do it though, Rick. Do you?
I can't
see them bringing in Teddy Bridgewater or anybody or Kaepernick or anybody like that.
Not unless. Clearly, your hand could be forced if Fitzpatrick got hurt. I mean, you know that would now you're grab bagging anyway. But
right.
But I think they had. I think they made this decision in March. Look, there were other guys out there when they re-signed Fitzpatrick, and I cannot believe they're surprised that Jameis was suspended. I don't believe that. I think their answer to this was, we're fine with Ryan. Did a credible job for us. He can start three games. We'd rather have him than other people that were out there. So I think they made that decision, and the rest will depend, I think, on injuries. I don't see them doing anything just to sort of cover their tracks or worry about next year. But I've been wrong.
Right.
I've been wrong before. Jameis Winston aside, what's the biggest story? What's the thing that you want to look for?
There is another one.
There is another story.
I'm not writing any, but you're not writing any. It's hard to feel like. It's hard to feel like there's anything else going on with this franchise other than what's been going on with Jameis Winston. I guess the thing I'm most interested in, Rick, is what this defense is going to look like.
Sure,
that was something that they came into the offseason clearly trying to address what not only on offense, the running game a little bit they're trying to fix now with Doug Martin out here. But defensively is where they made their big strides. They used their first overall pick or their first round pick on a defensive lineman. Their big splash in free agency was a defensive lineman. So they're trying to clearly trying to get better on defense and particularly up front on defense and how that plays out. And look, if they have any chance in these first three games, without Jameis Winston and going into a tough place like New Orleans and playing the Eagles and the Steelers, the defense is going to have to be the ones that carry them, I think, in those games. They're not going to go out and score 40 points against the Eagles. That's not happening. But if they can go out there and play pretty well defensively, then they give themselves a chance. And really, that was the big difference, Rick, I thought, between the year before last when they were 9-7 and last year. And I know there were times where the defense or the offense struggled, and Jameis was out part of last year, and they couldn't score a whole lot of points. But I thought their defense took a giant step back last year. So
I don't know. That's last in the league. The only place back after that is off a cliff. So
So I mean, that's clearly that's to me is the other storyline in camp is how that defense looks.
I'm glad we agree on that. By the way, I don't know if you noticed that Gerald McCoy now has a Batmobile.
An actual Batmobile?
Well, he got a Batman insignia with his number on his Rolls Royce. It kind of looks like a Batmobile.
I was thinking about doing that on mine, but now I changed. Now that Gerald's done it, there's no point.
On the Nissan?
Yeah.
Or is it a Honda? I can't remember.
It's a Honda. It's a Honda Accord.
Okay.
Although you wouldn't know it's an Accord because the thing that says Accord fell off.
What is it now? Like ACK or ORD?
It's just real light. It's like a ghost. It's like Accord. You really can't see it. Yeah.
Okay. I got you. Let's move on to the Rays, and it's second half of the season is getting underway here soon now that we've had the All-Star break. Unfortunately, Wilson Ramos doesn't look like he's going to be part of it for the very near future anyway. And maybe
forever
not at
again,
all.
Maybe.
Yeah,
yeah,
maybe.
He
maybe
may never
we'll
play again
him.
For the Rays. Yeah.
Right, he just quits baseball. I don't really know. I don't think
well, he's got the hamstring. He's going to be out at least probably a couple weeks and maybe longer. And the trade deadline's coming up July 31st. I would guess if there was some assurance that he could come back for at least the last month of the season, there are a lot of teams out there that would be interested in Wilson Ramos. Boy, Rick, I think this would be a big blow to them. And I realize that they're building for the future. They're trying to start something here. And they're not necessarily looking at the second half of this year as much as they're looking at 2019, 2020, and beyond. But I think Wilson Ramos has been a huge part of what they've been able to accomplish this last couple of months here. I think he's one of those underrated guys. You look at him, and he made the All-Star team. But when we talk about the Rays, I don't know that we tend to talk about Wilson Ramos as much as we talk about Jake Bowers and Kevin Kiermaier and Willy Adames and all the other things they got going on. But, boy, you could make an argument this guy's as good a catcher as they've ever had, at least offensively. And I think they're really going to miss this guy over the next couple of months and maybe from now on.
Yeah, I'd agree. He's the best they've had as a healthy guy, both hitting and I think defensively he's very, very good. And also, I think what's been underrated, whether it's him or Sucre, is, you know, we talk about, you know, them, you know, doing this whole opening day pitcher, opening pitcher and
right,
the bullpen
right.
and how they do this ridiculous thing that's changing baseball. But the most pressure that puts on is your catchers who have to really dial in.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Every single pitcher.
Right.
And handle, you know, where they've had 14, 15 different starters already. And kind of be ready for Johnny Holstaff 3 out of 5 days. So whether it's what Blake Snell has done, everybody's, you know, very complimentary to the way those guys call the games. And I think the pitchers are going to miss them as much as anybody.
Well, and you make a good point too, Rick, because as you know, having played baseball a long time, that sometimes pitchers will get into a groove, a starting pitcher will get into a groove.
Oh,
so,
yeah
Blake
oh,
Snell
yeah.
out there. There are yeah. some nights where maybe Blake Snell, maybe the changeup's not where it normally is. So
right.
you have to take, and so you start to call a game a little bit differently when you start to get the feel for that pitcher. But mm-hmm. when you got guys coming in every inning and you have to almost like in the first 2 or 3 pitches establish, okay, what's working for this guy right now?
Yeah.
What's not working for him? Who's up? How does this play into Mike Trout's strengths and weaknesses? Then it becomes a real hard job for the catcher, and clearly the catchers have done a really good job. Sucre, I don't mind Sucre behind the plate defensively. I mean, he'll be fine back there, but offensively they're going to take a dip with Wilson Ramos not in there.
I know every catcher gets beat up, but is there something about Sucre that it just seems like literally every at-bat or every hitter is he's going to take a whack someplace?
And they all look the same to me. Like when they got their gear on, you know,
yeah.
they all like kind of like look like men's softball players. All of them,
a little
you know,
bit,
like going
yeah.
back to the Jose or Molina days. You know,
sure.
But I'm curious to see how this second half plays out in terms of their pitching, Rick. I've said from all along that boy, this deal has worked out way better than I thought it would. But mm-hmm. can they keep their gas in the tank? Or are they
well,
going to
do you, I mean, do you think it
worked?
I mean, what are we looking at the second half? You think with the possibility of losing Ramos, maybe they trade another starting pitcher? We'll see. But are they going to? I mean, they're 2 games over .500, which is way better than I thought they would do. You had them winning more games than I ever did. I thought they were going to lose 100. You think the wheels fall off in the second half? You think the rent comes due on all these pitchers throwing all these innings, or do you think they roll forward and do well?
I think my guess is they're probably going to do okay. I don't know that they'll be 2 games over .500 the rest of the way, but they're not going to be like 20 games under .500 the rest of
yeah.
the way. I think they'll hang in there. They're actually in a pretty good position in terms of how they want to move forward here, because you've already had a season better than you've anticipated. And the fans, I believe, are satisfied with what they've seen this year. So you've played well, but you're not going to make the playoffs. You're because of the way the situation is with the other wildcard teams, making the playoffs is highly unlikely. They'd have to go on some incredible tear and get some help from other people falling apart. So that means I think they can go ahead and make trades. I don't think people would be, I don't think Rays fans would freak out if they traded Chris Archer.
Right.
I don't think they would freak out if Hechavarria. I think most people anticipate that trade coming.
Right.
So they can make some deals here in the second half to work for the future and not get killed by the fans, who normally would be upset if you're sort of in the hunt and you're starting to trade away more veteran players. They can get away with it because I think they're in a really good spot with the fans right now, that they're better than we thought they would be. But no one really truly is expecting them to make the playoffs.
Right, we'll see Willie Adames back, and in September, probably a bunch of guys that the people will like to watch that are coming up from Durham. You mentioned the fans. The Athletic pulled 240 Major League Baseball players and asked them the worst city in the major leagues or worst cities. Would it surprise you that they said Oakland and Tampa Bay?
What does surprise me, now the Oakland part doesn't surprise me, because every time I've covered the Rays when they've played in Oakland, and of course we stay in San Francisco. Nobody wants to stay in Oakland.
Right.
And you got, you know, San Francisco, one of the great places on earth, right across the bridge. Now they included ballparks. I've always heard, Rick, that the players don't mind the Trop. In a weird sort of way. Now it's a dead.
Even with the O-ring, the rings, and all that.
Yeah, or? Like that. That's kind of funky, and you get used to that. But they love the clubhouse, and they love the clubhouse staff.
It is a nice clubhouse. Yeah,
it's a really nice clubhouse, and you know, there's the food is good there apparently for out of town players. The like I said, the staff that works the visiting clubhouse at the Trop is considered to be among the best in baseball. So I don't think players mind being there. I was surprised though when they I think they called it the worst fans too.
Worst
Oakland
fans. That was the Rays and the Marlins for the worst fans.
Oh, that's right. Rays and the Marlins were the worst fans. Now I could see that, Rick, and again, I think it's all the same. It's all in the same stew here and I don't mean Stu Sternberg. I mean, you know, sort of the same. You throw everything into the pot with ballpark and town and fans and no attendance. Yeah,
but
it's not
city,
a fun
though,
place.
Tampa
to...
Bay, really the worst city? I mean, is that just the Trop area?
No. I guess, so the Chicago Tribune, and you know guys at the Tribune, sure. They came out and called the area around the Trop.
Yeah, they specifically said the neighborhood.
The neighborhood. So they were talking, and this is what the Chicago Tribune wrote. Downtown St. Petersburg with its waterfront parks and cute restaurants and bars is quite nice, but Tropicana Field is surrounded on three sides by parking lots and highways. That's okay. Nobody wants to spend extra time looking at the ugliest ballpark in baseball anyway. So they were talking as far as the Chicago Tribune, Rick, and I haven't spent a ton of time, as much time in Chicago as you have. They were talking about the areas right around the Trop.
That's fine, but this proves to me one thing, that no one at the Chicago Tribune attends White Sox games, because I have been to, what do they call it now, something cellular, I don't even know.
Guaranteed rate stadium.
Yeah,
guaranteed rate stadium.
Yeah,
guaranteed
right.
Crappy stadium is what it
is. I would make a joke that sounds like rate, but it wouldn't be a good joke. But here's the thing. Look, they built New Comiskey, or rather Tampa Bay built New Comiskey for them.
That's true, too.
In the parking lot of Old Comiskey. And I covered a game in Old Comiskey, and I'm here to tell you, it was surrounded. I don't know if it's in, you know, I don't know my Chicago geography. It's certainly way on the south side. And it's, you know, I at the time, anyway, maybe I haven't been there lately, but at the time there was, you know, I don't know if Caprina Green. I mean, there were the neighborhoods were not a place you'd want to walk out, you know, at 1 or 2 in the morning as we did
right.
After baseball games. I felt very unsafe there in Chicago. So I'm surprised that, you know, compared to St. Petersburg, I mean, I know what they're saying with highways and parking lots. I get all that. You know, you got Ferg's across the street and a police station that's ginormous. And then is the World of Liquors bar gone? I don't know if that ball is gone or not, because it's always a landmark. But
well, I mean, if you're comparing it to Wrigley Field, yeah, you can't walk out of the Trop
yeah,
and immediately stumble into 17
yeah.
bars.
Exactly.
And Wrigley is in Fenway. Those places are kind of unique in terms of
right.
being able to. It's right. It's built in a neighborhood, pretty much. But
the I mean, White Sox.
We're complaining about walking out of a stadium. I'll tell you what. You've been to Philly. Like Philly, there's ugh. Nothing around there, around
no.
that area right there to go and hang out and have dinner and do all kinds of stuff. At least the last time I was there.
Right.
You walk out of a lot of ballparks, you're going to have to walk a mile or two before you get to the good stuff. And St. Petersburg, it's funny, Rick, like when you're talking about, a lot of people are talking about, okay, this new stadium going up in Ybor City, hopefully at some point, is what that neighborhood's going to be like. And everybody says, well, it'd be great to be over in Tampa where there's nightlife and everything. I'd much rather hang out in downtown St. Petersburg right
That's
now.
That's what everybody
than
says.
Than in Tampa.
Everybody says that downtown St. Petersburg is the bomb now.
It's great.
I haven't been down there enough to know. I mean, I hear that and I see it. But everyone says it is. Now, you know, not far from downtown is Howard Avenue and that strip of, you know,
right.
and you know.
South
all
Tampa,
those,
right.
South Tampa and all those restaurants and things. But that's not anywhere near Ybor City.
No.
So now Ybor City is its own sort of enclave there itself. And I would imagine that people, you know, if they build a stadium, then there'll be development and residential and restaurants and things like that. Tampa right now, like I said, outside of Howard Avenue and Hyde Park in that area in South Tampa, doesn't have a lot going on.
What's the worst? I'm trying to think. What's the worst stadium neighborhood in the National Football League? You've covered games at every stadium.
Wow, that's a great question.
And the problem is, a lot of them are out in the middle of nowhere, just because they got the property cheap, and there's not really a whole lot to walk to around there. Like, for example, like San Francisco, I'm thinking, where they built that stadium. It's great.
Well, that's
it's
out
a really
San
cool
Jose,
stadium.
San Jose or whatever. Yeah,
there's nothing around Miami.
There's nothing around, and a lot of stadiums are there's not a whole lot around. But like, and while you're thinking of that, I'll tell you the NHL. It's funny you mentioned Chicago. The old United Center, or at least the old neighborhood at the United Center, used to be a pretty scary place, I thought, late at night, where you would call. We would stay at the Drake Hotel, and we would have to call the Drake, and they would send a cab from the Drake out there. They'd start the meter and then start to drive out to the United Center, because you couldn't stand outside the United Center and get a cab. Now,
there
that may
a
have
cab
changed.
Line. Yeah, there
yeah,
wasn't a cab
that,
line.
That may have changed recently, but I know back in the day, you used to stand inside with security until the so there, yeah, the Chicago Tribune has a lot of nerve picking on Tropicana Field. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, even I was thinking, like, Soldier Field is off a highway. You're a little bit just south of the city, but you're still kind of downtown. Really, there's not a lot of
other stadiums are like sort of out in the middle, like Foxborough. That's kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
No, that's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, yeah.
Green
Bay is
the middle of nowhere.
No, Green. The coolest thing is, I was going to say, the coolest thing is Green Bay, because it's in the middle of a neighborhood, like residential, and you know, great bars around there. I'd feel safe.
I'm just saying the city's in the middle of nowhere.
Green Bay is the middle of nowhere.
Oh, you meant
the
it's in the
Rose Bowl's in the middle of this. I don't know if you've ever been to the Rose Bowl, Rick, but the Rose Bowl is in the middle of a neighborhood. It's true. Like, you're driving down the street, and like, there's a nice house. Oh, look at this. Not this are nice. Oh, there's a stadium right there. It's unbelievable. You're driving down like
venue.
It's a great stadium.
I'll have to think about what's the worst stadium. We've walked home from a few of them. I know that.
Oh. Yeah, what was that? A couple of years ago, we got stuck out in the middle of nowhere. Kansas City, I think it was.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't even get an Uber to come out there.
Yeah, we couldn't get anybody out there. Yeah, that was like being in the middle of a runway at an airport in like Denver or something. Like, you couldn't you couldn't see for miles. But, yeah, I don't know.
But I would take exception to the Chicago Tribune. Because I think, again, as soon as you walk out of the Trop, there's nothing right there. But, I mean, walk 10 minutes, not even 10 minutes, and you're gonna find a bunch of cool restaurants and bars.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's gotten better. Who knows? Who knows when they? Who knows when they wrote this? Well, my thanks to Tom Jones. Tom, we can read you in the paper. You got a couple more days, like myself, of vacazione. You doing anything special the last few days?
I'm hanging a lot. You know what I've been doing a lot? Hanging out in downtown St. Petersburg and going. You know what? I saw a movie on vacation. I got to recommend this movie to everybody.
What'd you see?
I saw "Won't You Be My Neighbor." Have you seen this movie? The documentary.
Everybody
about
is raving
Mr.
about
Rogers?
This movie with Mr. Rogers, and how they walk out of there just crying their eyes
out.
What the hell is this about, other than Mr. Rogers?
You know what? It's not about anything other than Mr. Rogers, and it's
is
interesting.
Is he that
it's,
fascinating?
He's that fascinating about how, and it's all about the show basically, and how the show came together, and sort of his views on race relations, and he got into very serious topics of like politics and like.
So these
Bobby
are interviews
Kennedy.
That archived interviews that someone had done with him for years and years or something.
Yes, archived interviews, and then they also have interviews with people who worked on the show, people who worked on the. The crew, the people on the crew, and people worked at PBS and that sort of thing. And they have like a lot of old footage of old shows. But this thing is seriously, I recommend it to everybody. Go, especially if you remember as a kid watching Mr. Rogers. It's really, you walk out really inspired. It's a really good movie. It's a lot of fun. So.
I just remember Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live with Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
They talk about that. They talk about that in the movie. In this documentary, they talk about Eddie Murphy and his imitation, and Second City did a spoof on it, and they talked about him being parodied. It's really, they cover everything. They cover everything.
It's a great movie. Everybody says that, and I don't know that it's one that I would normally go to, but maybe.
I know. It was on vacation. My wife and I were looking. It was like one of the afternoons we were off, and say, hey, let's
the matinee.
Let's go see it. So if you have a chance, Won't You Be My Neighbor? And then I guess there's a Mr. Rogers movie coming out. Tom Hanks is going to play Mr. Rogers, coming up in a movie in a couple months. I think it's coming out. So
he's too old to do that, isn't he?
That's what my wife said. That she said he's kind of old, but maybe it happened later in his career. And apparently, what it's going to be is it's not really a biopic. It's about sort of the friendship he had between a reporter who was doing a story on him. So they're just taking
like
one.
So is he the reporter or is he Mr.
Rogers?
No,
he's going to be Mr. Rogers. And then it's just a slice of his life. It's not like the whole from beginning to end.
Clearly the end slice of his life.
Well, yeah. but everybody go see Won't You Be My Neighbor. It's really good. Really good.
But speaking of Tom Hanks, and I'll let you go on this one, I saw an interview. They were doing a thing on D-Day and in particular on Saving Private Ryan. Mm-hmm. And sort of like, you know, Steven Spielberg had certain people from that era in the armed forces that were, I guess consultants isn't the really word, but when he was previewing the movie before it had been released, he wanted them to look at especially the first 23 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Which is the landing and all that.
Sure.
And get their feedback. And the guy that was talking anyway said, well, you know, it was very realistic. Like I wouldn't have changed very much, but whatever. And Spielberg kept pressing. Well, there's got to be something. He goes, all right, I'll tell you what it is. So there's one thing that I, you know, sort of disagreed with is that Tom Hanks is too old to have been that guy.
Yeah.
You know, in the movie. He was too old. Like they were all, you know, he would have never been that old in that war in that position. And Spielberg goes, well, I can't change Tom Hanks. Like that's what you asked. I mean, it's like that's the one guy. But did you ever think that, like watching Private Ryan, it's like, you know,
I mean, you look at it, it's like Tom Hanks, but yeah, we should have known better because like a lot of the kids, like they were kids. My dad was 18, 19 years old.
Had four brothers. The youngest was 16. They all enlisted. He lied about his age.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was anybody older than 20, 21
from her
family. And that's the way it was nationwide. I mean, there was some really young men, the Greatest Generation and all that. But
here, one more Tom Hanks story since we're talking about Tom Hanks. I saw this. Ken Jeong, the guy that played Leslie Chow in the Hangover movies. Okay.
Sure.
And
why is he so angry? Why is he so angry?
He's so mean. So he went to Duke and he was studying medicine, I believe. And I don't know if you've ever heard him.
He's
so he was on the
true story.
He's a doctor.
He's an actual doctor, yeah.
So he was on the show Get Up, the ESPN show that I'm one of the five people who are watching the show right now. So so I'm watching Get Up and Ken Jeong is on there and they were talking about how great he was in Hangover and how the Hangover's become sort of a modern day classic. Like when we were kids, it was like Animal House and Caddyshack and Hangovers for today, people just love that movie. And they were talking about his character and that. And then someone even said to him, so like a lot of people probably don't realize you don't have that accent because he speaks with, you know, a sort of with no accent at all, you know?
Right.
And he says, people don't realize that you actually don't speak with that accent. And he says, yeah, you know what? I went up to, he goes, I was at a party and I met Tom Hanks and Tom Hanks came up to me and said, oh, I didn't realize, oh, you don't have an accent. And he goes, I looked at him, I go, what, you don't talk like Forrest Gump? It's acting, dude. I'm acting here. Because I was waiting for you to come up and say, I love you, Jenna. He said, come on, man. Give me a little credit.
And that's all I got to say about that. All right, Tommy. Get back to your vacation, man. And
all right,
thanks again.
We'll see you at training camp.
Always good stuff from Tom Jones. Always good to talk movies with him. We're going to have to do a podcast of nothing but movies, man. I really enjoy doing that sometimes. Well, nothing but movies. We always talk sports here on Sports Day Tampa Bay. That's why they call it Sports Day Tampa Bay. But always fun to kind of go back and forth with that. So this weekend, busy weekend in sports, and we'll be following all of that and talk about it on Monday. You got the Open Championship across the pond as Tiger Woods, as we tape this podcast, at least is off to a decent start. The Rays and Marlins back in action this weekend now after the All-Star break. They resume their Citrus Series, this time at Tropicana Field. And then the Yankees coming to visit on Monday. And Bucks rookies on Monday reporting to training camp. It is here. The NFL season is upon us. No matter what you think of what's going to happen the first 3 weeks, the Bucks are back, and we're going to see what they can do in 2018. And make sure, friends, that you go see my friend Andy at Continental Wholesale Diamonds. I'm telling you, look, $2,000, you're going to spend that on some good jewelry for your wife or your girlfriend. You know, make sure you go there because when you do, you're going to get a 5-day, 4-night cruise to the Caribbean. Your choice of cruise lines, your choice of destinations. It's a great offer for our podcast listeners only. Tell them Rick and Steve sent you from Continental Wholesale Diamonds. As always, we love your feedback. We'd love for you guys to interact with us when you can. You can reach us on Twitter at SportsDayTB, or my Twitter address is at NFL Stroud. You can reach me on email at rstroud@tampabay.com. As always, we'd love for you to rate and review this podcast. Steve, where can they do that?
Anywhere you get your podcasts. So just use that podcast app on your phone or download a third-party app. You can always go through iTunes or Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, or like I said, any third-party app. Just hit the subscribe button. That way it downloads to your phone every day automatically. You can listen whenever you choose. And if you share that with a friend, that helps us out a lot.
So thanks for listening. We look forward to talking to you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.